17th. It's not going to be, it's going to be a little different than the biker Sundays that we've had in the past. We're going to feed the bikers after service, but we're not designing the service around the bikers. Other than we are going to, Jerry Smart is going to be sharing his testimony that day. And Jerry has a very, very powerful testimony of what the Lord has done in his life. So if you know bikers, be inviting them to come to our Biker Sunday. You know, we're not, like I say, it's going to be like a regular service. So I know some people say, well, Biker Sunday, I'm not too interested in that, so I'm not going that day. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be a regular service just like this, except we're going to have bikers in it. We're going to have a testimony. Then we'll feed the bikers after church, and then they'll go on a ride. We're just providing an avenue for them to come to church. So pray for that service that God would touch hearts. Pray for that service that God would speak into the lives of people and would draw people to himself and invite people to come to that service. Amen? Okay, if you would, turn with me today to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start at, like I say, a two Sunday series, Faith versus Fear. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about is our thought life. Our thought life. The Bible speaks a lot about thought life. Now, my message is aimed at Christians. You have to make this distinction, because we believe that unless a person is born again, he can't do the things that we're talking about. Just because you go to church doesn't mean that you're born again. Born again is the change of the heart. It's the supernatural rebirth of the human spirit where the power of sin is broken in a person's life. Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a religious man, he says, you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. So there's a different message for what we call unbelievers, and that's you must be born again. But when we get born again, that is not the end of the work of grace in our lives. There is an ongoing work of grace, and I guess the technical term for it would be sanctification. Sanctification. That's a big word. But let me use another terminology. We call it the renewing of the mind, or let's say it this way, changing the way that we think. See, just because you get born again doesn't mean that you get your thinking straightened out. And we all need to know that we are responsible for our thoughts. So we're going to be dealing with thinking and changing the way that we think. God has given you a marvelous organ called a brain. Do this with me. Do that right there. See that? Look at that. Now, some of you got little bitty fists. That means you got a little bitty brain. Some of you got great big. But the human brain is about the size of your fist together like that. Now, let me tell you something about the human brain that's marvelous. There has never been a computer built that matches the human brain. It is a wonderful organ, because it is incredible what it can do. Really, really incredible. In fact, every smell that you have ever smelled, every thought that you have ever thought, every word that you have ever heard, every experience that you've ever had is stored in your brain. And it stays there. There are 100 trillion brain cells. I think that's one with, 12 or 16 zeros behind it. 100 trillion brain cells in that little area. And not all of your brain is about brain cells. I mean, they're your storage area. There's 100 trillion brain cells. Now, let me give you what that looks like. If each brain cell represented a letter, the 100 trillion letters on average would fill 22 million books. You have that kind of capacity in your brain. Isn't that pretty cool? Madison Square Garden is a huge facility. It has 20,000 seats in it. If you were going to put 22 million books in Madison Square Garden, that would be 100 books in every seat. And the ceiling is not tall enough to accommodate that, so they'd have to take the roof off. Madison Square Garden, 20,000 feet, 20,000 seats, and 100 books in every seat. That is brain capacity. How much of our brain do we use? Science tells us that we use 0.001% of our brain. You have the capacity, you have brain capacity to last you 3 million years. Okay? So why did God give us such a wonderful thing? And why would the Bible even say anything about thought life? Why would God give us this wonderful organ that is capable of so much and stores so much knowledge and information and insight? Because this organ, along with your heart, is the very thing that directs your life. It really is. And the Bible talks a whole lot about our thought life. And I love this. I've used this before. And it says this: guard your thoughts because they become words. Guard your words, they become actions. Guard your actions, they become habits. Guard your habits, they become your character. And guard your character because it becomes your destiny. Where does your destiny begin? It begins with your thoughts. Now, let me ask you a question. Are we capable as Christians to control our thought life? And the Bible has something to say about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. This is talking about your mind. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that word thought there is an interesting word. It's the Greek word noema. And it doesn't just mean a thought. The ideal behind it is a perception or a purpose. And let me say it to you like this. Every thought that you think has a purpose in it. Every thought that you have leads to a destiny. Are you out there today? It leads to a destiny. Now, one of the problems that we have in this age that we live in a wonderful informational age. But we're not getting smarter. You know why? Because we have become passive thinkers. In fact, we spend most of our time just reacting to the world that's around us. And our thoughts are being framed by what we live in, the cosmos that we live in. That's why God had to introduce His Word into this system for us to ever overcome. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My words are not your words. My ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my words and my ways above yours." See, God knows the right way. And if we live in a world where we are passive thinkers, where we allow, and we use the term all the time, the word muse and amuse. Muse means to think. Amuse means no think, not think. And it's amazing how much in our lives is centered around not thinking or allowing something else to do our thinking for us. And if you allow someone else to think for you, you know what's going to happen? Someone else or something else is going to control you, other than what needs to control your life. So it says here in the scripture that we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God has given us His wisdom. God has given us His knowledge. God has given us His thoughts and His insight. And God has shown us His way through His Word so that we can walk in His paths. And I, you know, we say, well, Lord, I want you to lead me. Lead me, Lord. Hey, it's a little more to it than just praying a prayer. Praying a prayer is fine. But guess what? You have to take captive certain thoughts. Now, we have studied this here in this church a couple of years ago in one of our life groups. And we're currently studying this again with the Luke 4:18 girls. Dr. Caroline Leaf, she is a doctor who has studied the brain for like 20, 25 years. And we're learning, and she makes this statement, and I can't prove it or disprove it from a scientific standpoint, but she makes this statement. He says, every thought that we think has one of two sources, and they are faith or fear. Faith or fear. And she uses a terminology called toxic thinking. When our thoughts become toxic. Now, what does toxic mean? Toxic means poison. And there's a Latin word, and toxic comes from a Latin word called toxicus, which means bow poison. What they would do is they would take an arrow and they would dip it in poison and then they would shoot it. And toxic thinking is, and we see this in the scripture because the Bible talks about the fiery darts of the enemy. How that the enemy shoots fiery darts at us. And the ideal is that he is shooting poison arrows into our mind. He places thoughts into our mind. And guess what? They're toxic. Now, you build, and I said a while ago, in your memory is built everything that you have heard, every experience that you have had in life, good and bad. And if they're built in there, something called, and I'm not going to get too much into this, because something called dendrites that look like trees. And a healthy memory, if you have a strong memory or you have strong knowledge that you have understanding and insight into, that it's good and positive, it looks like a healthy tree. But when one becomes toxic, it actually, those dendrites start forming little thorns on them. And they can see this under microscopes. And what it does when you have a toxic thought, it actually releases chemicals in your body. And it can actually make you sick. In fact, science, medical science, thinks that a lot of things that people go through in disease is caused by the things that weigh on our minds. We could say toxic thinking. Now, let me give you some examples of toxic thinking. See, if what she says is true, that every thought has its base in faith or fear. Now, let me give you a scriptural background for that. Remember back in the Garden of Eden, before the fall, Adam and Eve walked with God in Genesis chapter 3. Walked with God, fellowship with God. He had a mind that could do that. And when he sinned, remember what happened? God, after he sinned, God comes to him in the garden and he hides himself from God. And God says, Adam, where are you? And he says, I realized I was naked and I was afraid and I hid myself. Now, this gives us a little insight into what toxic thinking is about. This is where fear came into the earth. This is the first instance that we have in the whole Bible that man ever faced fear. Fear was not a part of his heart before that. It was not part of his spirit before that. But when man fell, fear reigned. And that's where it started. And the very first thing that it did, it caused him to push away from God and hide from God because he had a sense of nakedness. He had a sense of shame. So any kind of fear thought is going to have its basis in some other kind of emotion. Because, you know, a lot of times we think of fear as only boo. But, you know, fear could be shame. Fear could be guilt. Fear could be unforgiveness. Fear could be what we could call dysfunctional stuff. Fear could be worry. Fear could be doubt. See, all of those emotions, all of those thoughts have their basis in fear. Faith and fear are opposites. And let me give you a definition of faith. Faith is believing that the things you cannot see will come to pass. Faith deals with the unseen. Faith, true faith, is based on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by... Y'all help me out there today. Somebody, I need some help. Hearing comes by the Word of God. What is fear? Fear is believing that those things that you cannot see will come to pass. It's the opposite side of the picture. Faith is positive. It's based on the Word of God. It produces a positive thought. Now, I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking, although that's probably included in that, but it's learning to think God's thoughts. It's learning to think God's way. And it's positive, and it's not toxic, but it becomes toxic when it has a fear base to it. And here's what we get into. There's a lot of things that we have not accomplished in life because of a fear base in our life. Inferiority is a fear-based thought. When you compare yourselves among yourselves and by yourselves, well, you know what? I'm not as smart as so-and-so. I don't have as much education as so-and-so. I'm not as good-looking as so-and-so. But therefore, I'm not a good person as they are. That is a fear-based thought that will turn toxic. And it will rob you of your potential as a human being. See, one of the things that we believe, we even have it in our Constitution, that all men are created equal. But we don't always see ourselves as equal. And it has to do with toxic thinking. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how do we deal with toxic thoughts. How do we deal with those things so that we can go from fear-based thoughts to faith-based thoughts. And I've learned this over the years because I struggled big time with an inferiority complex. I didn't think I was as good as some other people. I was always intimidated by other people. Therefore, that thing in my life became my growth ceiling. And I could grow up to that point, but I could not get beyond that point. And that toxic thinking in my life limited my production where my purpose was concerned. As I began to deal with that toxic thinking, guess what? My growth ceiling began to rise. And it's kind of amazing, being a pastor, as my growth ceiling rose, so did the size of the church that I pastored. Interesting. Do you own a business? Do you own a business? Do you work for somebody? Do you wish that you could be promoted? Did you know that you're probably promoted to the level of your growth? If you want to grow more, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to deal with some of the fear-based thinking and get over into faith-based thinking because it frees you. It frees your potential. It raises your growth ceiling as a human being, as a Christian. It raises that. Oh, yeah, but I believe that so long. One thing that I love that Caroline Leaf says, and she's coming from the scientific standpoint, not from the biblical. That's her field. But she says you can begin to turn around toxic thinking, maybe something that's been in your life, your whole life. You can begin the process of turning that around in 4 days. And that's one neat thing about the Word of God, that, you know, sin compounds. Sin compounds. You get caught up in this lifestyle, and it doesn't get better. It gets worse. It compounds. It builds on itself. But it doesn't take the Word of God as long to undo that as it took sin to build it. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It can change the heart of man. We can go from fear-based thinking to faith-based thinking. And we're going to talk about that some next week. Let me say this again. Guard your thoughts. They become your words. Guard your words because they become your actions. Guard your actions because they become your habits. Guard your habits because they become your character. And guard your character because that becomes your destiny. It starts with a thought. It ends with a destiny. If you don't like where you are in life, how do I begin to change that? I change the way that I think. I have to change. I have to realize, is the way that I'm thinking, is it based in fear or is it based in faith? And I've seen this over the years. You may start out in this journey, and it will be a journey. Because as you grow, you will see other areas where fear has dominated your thinking in your life. And as you deal with that, it's amazing that the growth opportunities that come open for you as a Christian. If you have 100 trillion brain cells in your brain, and you're only operating on 0.001% of that capacity, and you can increase that because you are designed to operate at a higher capacity than you're operating. Wouldn't you agree with that? Why would God give us this huge brain and we use less than what? 0.01% of our capacity? Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. We're living far below our design. And a lot of it has to do with how we think. Your thinking is your limiter. But your thinking can raise your growth ceiling higher and higher and higher and higher. You know, Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I want to share some other scriptures as we get ready to close this today. It says in Psalms 10:4, it says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Let me ask you a question. And I'm not calling you wicked, because I know a lot of Christians that the only time they really think seriously about anything that has to do with God is when they're at church. And a lot of that has to do because we believe that the church is the building. And it's not. When you leave here today, the church leaves the building. I mean, that's it. And you're to take what you know in your daily life. Christianity is a 24/7 deal. It's not being religious and coming to a building 2 or 3 times a week or once every other week or whatever. It's learning to live a lifestyle. And sometimes the only time we really seriously think about our lives and where it's going and what's happening in our lives is when we're at church or when something goes really bad. And then we think, okay, I need counseling. I need something. Well, let me tell you something. We ought to be under counseling all the time. We ought to have some kind of positive input into our lives on a daily basis. Because it will begin to raise your level. You'll begin to replace some of the thoughts, the fear-based thoughts, and you'll see them switch from the fear base into the faith base. I will no longer see myself as unworthy. I will no longer see myself as inferior. I will see myself created in the likeness and the image of God. I will begin to see myself as a new creature in Christ Jesus. I will begin to see myself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I will begin to see myself in the concept of what I am designed to do as a person. And I'll live that out in every day of my life. Not just in my going to church life. It's my everyday life. I'll see people different. I used to allow people to intimidate me. I used to didn't think there were some people that I could not converse with because I was not as smart as they are. I found out that they're not that smart. Now, some of them are pretty smart, but they have their limits too. And it's amazing when I can look eye to eye with somebody that I know who has more education than I do, and I can look at him as a peer. It's amazing how that person reacts back to me. And I used to allow that person to intimidate me, and I would draw back. What kind of thought is that? Faith-based or fear-based? It's fear-based. And it's amazing. We're going to talk next week about how do we deal with those kind of things? Because it is a process. It is an ongoing process. How do we practically deal with that so that we can come out of these things that just bind us? See, some of us as Christians, we have spiritual strongholds in our life, and it is ingrained in the way that we think. But one of the things is that we're passive thinkers. We don't have God in our thoughts except when we need Him or we're at, quote unquote, church. I want to read one more, and then I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. Isaiah chapter 41 in verse 10. And it says this, "Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice." Does that sound like I need to be thinking fear thoughts? He says, hey, you forget that I'm here. You forget that I can control things. You forget the design that I have for you. You forget that I am the one who is your rear guard. You forget that I am your protector. You don't have to be afraid. He says, I'm God. What is there to fear? I love the scripture. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Why should I sweat? Why should I worry? Why should I fear? Why should I draw back because of fear? I shouldn't. But if I have fear-based thinking, which is toxic, which is poison, and poison keeps you from growing, poison will kill you emotionally. It will kill you physically. You can get extreme stress. Stress, listen, all stress is toxic thinking, gone to a different degree. There are stages of stress. Stress will literally kill your body. It'll destroy your mind. It'll mess up your marriage. It'll mess up your relationships. It's toxic and it's fear-based. God wants us to be in faith-based thinking. Amen. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. This is a message today that's targeted towards believers, not really unbelievers. But in every service, we always give opportunity that if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, and we don't condemn you for not having a relationship with God, but we want to give you an opportunity to have one. Because God loves you unconditionally, and God wants to be in a relationship with you. He has desired that. He won't press through and make you do it. He will woo you, but He will not ravage you. And maybe you're here today and you don't have that relationship with God, but you sense in your heart that something's tugging at you to come into that relationship with Him. We have that opportunity today. Any one of these people here can pray with you for that. Maybe there's some other things in your life that you need to deal with. Maybe you're just going through some stuff. You just need prayer. We're going to open that up. As I pray, you begin to come. Father, thank you so much for your incredible love toward us. Thank you that you have brought us into a place that we can choose. We can choose you. We can choose your way. We can choose your thoughts. We can choose your word. And Lord, minister your grace to your people today. Minister your grace to them today. Reach out to them in your love today and draw them unto you. I pray for those who are hurting here today. I pray for those who are sick here today, that you would administer your healing and your love to them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come? Don't hold back. Just come.